the canine condition. Come, sit, stay. Welcome to season two of the Canine Condition Podcast. I am your host, Jackie Pignol. Each episode is a conversation with a trustworthy dog rescue organization or animal welfare advocate that will leave you inspired and empowered. This is the why, where, and how to adopt or help a canine family member. The goal is to save homeless dogs and set you up for success with information and resources to raise and keep a healthy and well-balanced dog. Embark on this journey with me, and let's save humans' best friend together. Here we are at episode 50, the season 2 closer. I hope you have enjoyed listening to and learning from all of the incredibly knowledgeable animal-loving guests I've had on the podcast so far. I want to share with you that before I started to record this episode, my husband Johnny and I had to pick up our little pug Zeus's ashes from the vet clinic. He was the eldest of our 6-pack of dogs at almost 16 years old, and he was the friendliest, most welcoming pug we have ever known. All I can say as a pet parent, an animal lover, and dog rescue advocate is that although I understand that my doggie had a full and loving life, I would still give anything to spend one more day with him. Yet I see many humans around this country giving up their dogs daily. They turn them into city shelters without looking back, or abandon them somewhere by leaving them tight to fences, or tossing them in empty fields in rural areas, or dropping them off on the side of a highway because they no longer want them in their lives. These innocent dogs didn't ask to be born, only to be left behind. There seems to be a real disconnect among humans nowadays. From my experiences on this journey, I see that the canine condition is where it is at today because of the human condition. And I ask, what role do you want to play in your life and in your corner of the world that will either positively or negatively affect the canine condition, which in turn affects humanity and the society you live in? I had a guest on episode 34 this season, Shira Scott Astroff, the founder of the Animal Rescue Mission, a 501c3 licensed organization based in Los Angeles. She recently reached out to me to ask if she could come back on the podcast and talk about a few important things that have transpired since she was my guest. I am so glad that Shira reached out to me because they are topics that we must not turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to. So without further delay, let's chat a bit with Shira Scott Astroff. Welcome back to the podcast, Shira.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Absolutely. I'm so happy you've reached out. I know that you have come across some cases that you want to talk to us about since we last spoke on your episode in terms of animal cruelty, abandonment, neglect. And I thank you for reaching out. I'm glad that you want to bring these topics to the table and current situations that you've faced. So please, for our listeners, let us know what's on your mind and what do we need to know to take more action to help make a difference in the animal cruelty world.
Since I've been on your podcast, I started getting much more involved into the legal part of things and trying to figure out the answers once and for all as to why my rescue partners and I are constantly going ourselves to save animals from these horrific situations, and why when people call LAPD and animal control, no one shows up. Or if they do show up, nothing happens. And really diving more into that and trying to get meetings with city officials, with the DA, with the city controller, with, you know, just different people to try to find answers. And, you know, what I've learned is really sad, but it also answers the question that many people have, which is, you know, how come when I see animal cruelty, when I call LAPD or when I call animal control, nothing happens? And the answer is because they aren't doing anything. LAPD is not allowed to handle animals. They are told to basically tell callers to call animal control. Well, the problem with that is that animal control, not only do they not answer their phone, but if they do, sometimes they'll be honest with you and tell you that they're not going to do anything. And sometimes they'll pretend that they're going to, and they don't. And the stuff that we have seen is so horrific. Oh, and the biggest point is many times what they say to us is, well, if you don't have proof, we can't do anything. You need proof. You need proof. Well, we have, for instance, we have three main cases that we're working on right now where we have video. We have video of these people doing horrific, heinous things to dogs. And one officer actually said, and I have this on all on emails, most of it.
Okay.
Actually
okay.
said, oh, that could be a training technique. Biting the dog's face until the dog screams can actually be a training technique? No, it can't be.
Oh, gosh.
There's another one that the video has, you know, gone viral of the man beating his dog at Hotchkiss Park in Santa Monica. We posted about it. A lot of people posted about it where there's a video of a man in Hotchkiss Park in Santa Monica beating his dog with the hard part of a retractable leash. Like beating his dog hard.
I saw that. I did see that. It's hard to take. It's hard to watch.
Yeah. What's really hard is, I mean, I'm grateful for the person who filmed it. I also am a little like, really? You guys didn't want to do something? But okay, at least you filmed it. And there's a family sitting right there. That baffles me how you, I mean, if I were a mother or father sitting there with my kids, that is not something that I would let them see me be okay with.
No, absolutely not.
But again, moving past that. So we followed up on all this. And the police officers took the dog to the Santa Monica shelter, where the shelter vet there said, oh, there aren't enough injuries. We can't prove that this is, you know, we have no reason to consider this animal cruelty. Oh, okay, so you have to wait until the dog has more bruises or is dead, basically is what you're saying. And then we followed up with the DA, and basically this is in the hands of the Santa Monica City Interim Attorney, Susan Cola. And they have already passed on charging this man with a felony. I mean, we're hoping that he's charged with a misdemeanor, but right now, they're ignoring all inquiries, all emails. I'm waiting for the public records to be sent to me. I'm not letting this go. I'm also not letting the one go. I mean, there's several cases right now that we have actual proof on. So it's not a matter of, oh, please do something. We've heard this. We have proof. And they are ignoring that proof.
And where is the dog now in that case?
No one knows. Probably, I'm sure, with the man who is beating him. That's not okay. And there's just so many situations where there's evidence now of dogs being hurt and nothing's happening to them. And it really doesn't make sense. And then a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, look at LA right now. They don't care about humans getting hurt. I get it. It's a really tough time to make people care about animals. But they're two separate entities and they both need to be fixed. And if anything, at least give an excuse, give a reason as to why animal cruelty laws are not being followed. Because we can keep creating, and we should, bills and new propositions. But if they're not enforced, then nothing's happening.
They're almost forcing us as the public to enforce them or do something about it.
Yeah. Basically, the only solution that I see right now, because we are getting no cooperation from animal control, from LAPD, from pretty large animal advocacy groups that are, you know, their mission is to prevent animal cruelty. We're not really getting much cooperation from them. And if anything, we're the rescuers that are out there. We're seeing everything. We have the evidence. You should want to talk to us. The only solution that I see in the near future is we, as a public, we all need to come together and we need to start not only demanding answers and creating our own solution, whether that be our own task force, our own coalition, which I really think needs to be done, but we need to start being the protectors. People, you know, they think that you could pick up the phone and call somebody and say, oh, this dog is getting beaten, but you can't. There is no one to call. You could call us and, you know, we're going to do the best we can, but we can't be there for all of them. And I think that people really need to take more responsibility and chime in and help. And that's the only way that we're going to show these animal abusers that we're not okay with it. And we are going to fight back, and we are going to create our own task force if we need to.
I absolutely am on board with that. I think that if more rescue organization founders within each city, within a county, formed that task force that you're proposing, it would be, you guys have a lot of knowledge. I have had so many incredible rescue founders from around the nation on this podcast, and the experiences and the knowledge shared is powerful. It's empowering. It has given me hope that people are doing something. However, like you said, there's not enough doing something. There's more people standing on the sidelines or watching. And then those in power, meaning those in law enforcement or these large national organizations that may have the funding and the publicity, if they are not using their funds and their resources to help the boots on the ground, we're getting nowhere. It's almost like we feel like we're spinning in circles. And this is not unique to Los Angeles. I want to let my listeners know, I hear this from Georgia, Florida, North Dakota, New York, New Jersey, Arizona. I mean, I could go on in Texas. I've spoken to people in all of these states, numerous organizations facing the same type of cruelty cases, neglect and abuse. It's everywhere. And when you think that animals don't matter because we don't even help humans, well, what happens is we are not opening our eyes to the fact that there is a mental health crisis in this country. And there are way too many humans that are mentally unstable for one reason or another. And when it becomes about that, and our medical service is not able to provide that stability and that medical care to these humans, they will start with abuse with animals and move to humans. It's proven time after time. And so why are we as a public waiting for that abuse to happen and then move to the atrocities that are occurring in our country today with gun violence? Why wait? That really is my question for our listeners.
100% agree with all of that. I actually read in the LAPD, they created an animal task force however many years ago. It wasn't that successful. They were only there 2 days a week. But in their mission statement, it was because they said, this is also helping humans, because animal abusers, for the most part, usually then go on to hurt humans. So I'm just agreeing with what you said, that this is also going to help humans, because people start with animals and then it just gets worse. And I don't understand why we wouldn't want to stop these people. Like, there's just no reason. I just watched a video in Jacksonville, Florida, of a man teaching his son how to hit his dog with a bat.
Oh, my goodness.
There's video. So my next call is going to be to the Jacksonville Police Department and Animal Control. And honestly, I don't expect them to do anything. I hope they will. But this is a real problem. We are creating, in my opinion, murderers by letting people that can take a bat to a defenseless dog walk free with no repercussions. We need a number for people to call when they see animal abuse. And there isn't one right now. And that needs to happen. That needs to be created. So I think if all of us rescuers, all of us organizations, all of us animal
lovers and advocates.
We all need to get together and we need to create our own task force, because sadly, I don't think we can wait for, you know, the city to do their jobs, because they're not.
Right. The needs for animal protection laws are not being prioritized as they should be, and they're not being seen as a stepping stone to helping society as a whole and humanity. And we're already behind, so there's a lot of catch up to do. But I do want to implore to listeners to think about this. It's bigger than you think. It's more important than you might think. This isn't just about adoption and rescue, which we advocate for on every episode. This is about helping your corner of the world, your own community and society, be safer and be a better place. And the new generation to not grow up with these violent ideas and abusive nature. That's not who we are as Americans. That's not the example we want to put out to the rest of the world who comes to us for help. There's so many international agencies and rescue organizations begging U.S. 501c3 licensed rescues for help with their own dogs. But how can we help them in good conscience when we can't even help our own? Something for people to think about as we end the season and as we advocate for more help, for more hands on board, for more fosters and volunteers. This is bigger than foster and adoption. This is about humanity. The canine condition really rests in the hands of humanity. How do you want to step up, represent our species in your corner of the world? Shira, thank you for speaking to us about these important cases. Please follow the Animal Rescue Mission and support when they ask you to share and to volunteer or to even step up to foster temporarily, because they need it. We need it as a society. Later on, you'll come across a situation and be able to say, hey, you know what? When I helped Shira and Animal Rescue Mission, I learned this. I'm going to take it with me on my next journey.
Absolutely. Everything you are saying, absolutely, 100% agree. Perfectly said. We're all in this together.
Well, thank you so much. We are in this together. And Shira, just for our listeners to know, you also help the dogs. We reminded people in episode 34, you help spay-neuter clinics on the border with Mexico because, like we just said, those countries ask us for help because they don't have the resources and the laws to help those animals. So I know you have a number of doggies from Mexico ready for adoption and are always helping. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us and leave us with as we take a hiatus and maybe start working on some of the advocacy with other rescue organizations for a coalition?
So one last thing that I definitely want to add, because this is probably the most important thing, is the problem is the overpopulation of dogs, the amount of thousands of dogs dying in the shelter each day, thousands of dogs on the streets of Mexico dying. And, you know, we go to Mexico, we create spay-neuter clinics for them. But here in LA, it's a problem because the price to get your dog spay-neutered, vets are charging astronomical prices. And even at the shelter, they're actually adopting out unfixed dogs, which is illegal, because they can't keep up with the demand for vets to do this. So like we were just discussing, you had a brilliant idea that there should be a cap on what vets can charge. And I absolutely agree with that. I think that spaying and neutering should be affordable to everyone. I think that there needs to be, I would personally prefer love, free spay and neuter, because that is a service that will help everyone and all of the animals. But at the very least, it needs to be affordable. And another point you brought up earlier, some places, if you provide proof of low income, you can get the lower price. Well, that is something that, you know, you shouldn't have to do.
I know. Shira and I were having a conversation prior to recording this podcast episode. So thank you for bringing that up, because, yes, it is important. And you're right. I personally think across the board, no questions asked about your income. You have a dog. There's a lot to spay and neuter. Okay, let's take care of it, right? And if LA Animal Services can't fund all the spay and neuters, then maybe we do need to work on putting a cap on those spay and neuter charges.
Absolutely.
We will look into it. It's something to research. It's something to advocate for. It would have to be either city by city, county by county, state by state. But if you out there are in a position to help, to do it in your own city, to help bring down the cost of spay and neuter, we will get this dog and cat overpopulation under control.
Yeah, spay and neuter and ending breeding. Backyard, non-backyard, all breeding. Until there is a shortage of dogs, please do not create more while dogs are dying in the shelter daily.
Thank you, Shira.
Thank you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us again, and we will be giving you a little recap of our season so that as we move forward, we leave you with some empowering and hopeful thoughts while we're on hiatus. We will pick up again in season 3. I appreciate every single one of you who listens to this podcast. I hope it sparks more conversations in your life that will help save dog lives and empower humans to take action and practice compassion and kindness. Please know that you can reach out to me or any of the organizations or individuals you have heard from on this podcast if you or anyone you know needs help with rescue, adoption, or you want to volunteer, foster, donate, or if you need help keeping your beloved pet. Whether the help that you need is financial or in the area of training so you can better communicate with your pet, or you want to find better dog food to improve your pet's health, do not hesitate to reach out. There is help out there. And after speaking with Shira on this episode, I ask you to please keep your eyes and ears open. And if you see something, say something. Do not be afraid to record things that you are witnessing when it comes to animal abuse, abandonment, and neglect. Report it. And like Shira said, if no one in a position of power does anything about it, reach out to dog rescue organizations and advocates. Take it to social media so we can be a loud voice together and push law enforcement and lawmakers to take action. Just recently, my guest on episode 48 from Companion Animal Protection Society, a national nonprofit 501c3 licensed organization, proved that with hard evidence and people's voices pushing for change, laws can be passed. I want to give a shout out to the state of New York for recently passing Bill A4283. New York has become the sixth state to now ban the sale of male-bred puppies, kittens, and rabbits in pet stores. It took a lot of voices speaking up to make that happen, and it finally did. Stay hopeful and stay inspired. Be a voice for the voiceless. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please tell all of your dog-loving friends about it. Until next season, hang on to those leashes. The Canine Condition. Come, sit, stay.